Love Talk Radio.
Your name is like honey when it's on my lips. Your spirit is like water to my dry, thirsty soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
We thank you that our family is complete in you. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift because it comes from you. And Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for the Institute of Biblical Learning. We thank you, Lord, for, hallelujah, every man and woman under the sound of our voice tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the movement of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we entreat you now to open up the word to us. Reveal yourself to us in a mighty way. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest and every seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you for spirits of authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Saying the Lord God, rebuke you and your satanic cohorts. You're under our feet. We curse you from whom command you be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we bless your name. We praise your name. We honor your name. We magnify your name. And we glorify your name today.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And let everyone say,
amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. You can do the hallelujah. Praise God.
The roll call.
Roll call.
Angie Harris. Here. Phoebe Stevenson. And Tiffany Warren.
Hallelujah. Elder Kiwi, a call. I know she doesn't want to miss 2 weeks in a row. And give her a call on your cell. Hallelujah. God bless you. The classes today is, of course, spiritual maturity and hallelujah, glory to God. Know your Bible. Guess what, y'all? This is the last class of this semester. Yay! I didn't hear you say yay, Sister Andy.
Yay!
That was a cool yay. Can you do that again? I like that.
Yay!
Hey, that's all right. You ought to do that more often. I like that. You got a good yay. All right. And what we're going to do today, since it's just one right now, there are three things that are like the prerequisites or to help you grow spiritually. One begins with W, another one begins with a P, and another one begins with a F. Sister Angie, do you know what they are?
Hold on, sir. Let me find it.
All right. WPF. You know.
The first one is Word of God.
Yes.
Second one is Psalms. And the third one is fellowship.
Okay. The P stands for something else than Psalms. You're almost there.
Word of God. Okay, Word of God, Psalms, prayer.
Okay, it's prayer, not the song.
Prayer. Oh, prayer and fellowship.
Yes. Oh, guess what? Got an A on your final.
Yay.
Oh, I like that yay. Oh, that's a pretty, that is a neat yay. Now, wasn't that an easy final?
Yes.
I don't know where we left off in spiritual maturity, the book. Did you check where we left off, Sister Angie?
Yes.
Where we left off?
We were on page, the chapter we were on, I think it was chapter 5, developing into Macy with God. I think I said it right. Yeah, we was on page, I think we was on page 50, I think 53.
Pastor Pete, excuse me, I'm trying to wait for you. You keeping us straight, Sister Angie. Hallelujah.
Okay.
53 and what paragraph?
Page 53, I think it was Confessions.
Let me see if I went any further.
Second paragraph.
Okay.
Is it a title of that paragraph or is just?
That's the title of the that's the title of a paragraph.
What does it say?
Mm-hmm. Confessions.
What is it?
Confessions.
I can't understand what you're saying, Pastor Peach.
Because I'm talking to you every time I'm... Confession.
Oh, confession. All right. Well, Pastor Peaches, can you start reading for us? Two paragraphs.
Okay. Recognition. Okay, confession. Recognition of God's holiness naturally leaves people with a sense of sinfulness requiring confession. Experiencing how utterly holy God is, the prophet Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts," Isaiah 6:5.
Yes.
Every believer needs this cleansing that comes from acknowledging guilt. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. This means that God is absolutely righteous and capable to forgive sin every time we truly confess. When we begin to doubt God's desire or ability forgive our sins through the sacrificial atonement of his son, our prayer life will suffer. We will not want to communicate with the Father because of the condemnation, shame, and guilt that we are refusing to be released from. People often stop growing spiritually because they fail to regularly confess their sin and accept God's forgiveness. Confession is an antidote to spiritual paralysis. End of paragraph. The next paragraph is adoration.
Oh, wait, adoration. Hold on just a second. That scripture in Isaiah 6, was the text of my first sermon way back in the year of our Lord, 1970-something. Anyway, okay, go ahead. Read the second paragraph, Pastor.
Adoration. Reassured by the loving forgiveness of the Heavenly Father, 1 John 4:10, believers need to tell God how much they love him. Just as adoration within a marriage relationship sets the stage for deeper levels of communication. So praising the Father helps to initiate deeper levels of intimacy in prayer. Expressing love to God by word and obedient actions is the only appropriate response to one who loves believers so much. 1 John 3:1-4:16. By repeating the great command given by Moses at Mount Sinai, Jesus reaffirmed our responsibility to love and adore God with our whole being. Matthew 22:37. Our prayers of adoration for our Father should reflect not only our emotions, but our whole being, including our minds, wills, and actions.
Is that end of paragraph?
End of paragraph, Susan.
Let me just share this real quick before, you begin reading. Before you begin, there is an acronym. That's letters stand for something. And it's ACTS, A-C-T-S. It stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adoration, you praising and magnifying God. Confession, asking God for forgiveness. And then thanksgiving, because he forgave you. Go ahead, thank God. And then supplication, you put your petition before the Lord. So remember this, ACTS. You may hear that again one day. A, capital C, capital T, capital S. You put them one under the other. For A is adoration. Adoration. Pastor Peter, can you spell that?
A-D-O-R-A-T-I-O-N.
Got that, Sister Angie?
No, I got to get a pen. I'm getting one right now. Hold on for a minute. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, I'm ready. Spell again.
Okay, now first thing I want you to do is to put these letters one under the other.
Okay.
A, C, T, and F. Okay, they're on separate lines, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now beside A is adoration. Spell adoration again, Pastor Peaches.
A-D-O-R-A-T-I-O-N.
A-D-O-R-A.
Okay, that's A-D is in David. Adoration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next one is confession. You want to spell that to Albert Peach?
C-O-N-F-S-S-I-O-N.
Confession. That's beside the C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then T, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Got that one.
Okay, and last is supplication. Spell that.
S-U-P-P-L-I-C-A-T-I-O-N.
Supplication.
Got it.
Okay, so when you see the acronym ACTS, it stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Adoration, praising God. worshiping God. See, confessing and asking him for forgiveness. Thanksgiving, thanking him for forgiving you. Thanking him for blessing you. And supplication, you're putting your petitions before the Lord. Hallelujah. Supplication, Lord, you know. You're sharing what you need, what you have need of. You have that.
Yep, got it.
Okay, now, you can read two paragraphs. Sister Andy.
Okay. Whereas worship appreciates who God is, praise, pays tribute to what God does. He deserves praise for his mighty deeds, his excellent greatness. Psalm 150, verse 2. Believers should speak highly of his great goodness and great gracious compassion. 145, verse 4 and 9. Because the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Verse 9. God is honored, and Christians grow when we praise him for what he has done for us and through us. Praise to the Father often reflects back to us a much more positive way of looking at things around us. Thanksgiving. No aspect of prayer is more,
essential
mm-hmm. than thanksgiving. Having received God's forgiving grace and sustaining strength, Christians owe him a deep sense of gratefulness. And gratitude lies at the heart of
rebellion
against God. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. In arrogant pride, people ignore God, choosing rather to credit themselves for the blessings of life. This ungrateful attitude has no place among believers. Thanksgiving is an attitude for all seasons. Hard times are as much an occasion for gratitude as good times. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Even experience that normally cause tension are to be faced with Thanksgiving prayer.
Anticipating
inward peace. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Affirming and thanking God for his sovereign
mm-hmm.
care, even in suffering, draw us even closer into the arms of our Father. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28, and James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, in a paragraph.
Was that the first one or the second one?
That was the second one.
The first one was called praise.
Oh.
You read first about praise, yep. And then about Thanksgiving.
All right, praise God. Any comments or questions about the four paragraphs that we done read already? Any questions or comments?
I think this shows you just how we are supposed to pray and the importance of praise and the importance of thanksgiving. Because the first line in the Thanksgiving, in the second paragraph, it says no aspect of prayer is more essential than thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then in the first paragraph, it was entitled praise. It says, whereas worship appreciates who God is, praise pays tribute
to what God does.
Amen.
And let me just, hold on, I'm going to ask Siri, what is the meaning of adoration? Hey, Siri, what is the meaning of adoration? Yes. Worship, veneration, deep love and respect. Adoration. That's praise, praising God. And then the confession, that was explained. Confession. And then thanksgiving, that was good. And all right. Pastor Peach, can you take the text too?
Okay, intercession. Another important component of a healthy prayer life is consistently praying for others. Paul regularly prayed for the spiritual maturity of believers, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Ephesians 1, 16 to 23, and Ephesians 3, 14 to 21.
Can you go over those scriptures again?
Philippians 1, 9 through 11.
9 through 11. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Okay.
Ephesians 1, 16 to 23.
16 to 23. Okay.
And Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Did you want them read?
Yeah, we can read them. That would be good.
Oh, I got to. Hold on a minute. I got the Amplified right here.
Okay, you can read it in Amplified. That's fine.
Oh, wait a minute. Philippians 1.
Did you underline, are you underlining those scriptures or highlighting those scriptures or underlining them, Sister Andy?
Yes, sir.
Good, good, great. All right. Go ahead, Pastor Peter.
I'm trying to pass.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm finding Philippians 1.
9 through 11.
Yeah, I was going to tell Andy to find the next one.
We going to read in the King James Version Bible?
Yes, you read in the King James Version.
Okay.
But I have a hard time finding the scripture. Okay. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. Okay, it says Philippians 1, 9. Okay, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, and that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless. So that with heart sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. And the 11th verse says, may you abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing.
Wow.
Which come through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to the honor and praise of God, that his glory may be both manifested and recognized.
And that's Philippians 1, verse 9 through 11.
Yes, those in the Amplified.
In the Amplified.
Yes.
Now, the next scripture is in Ephesians, what's that, 1, 16 through 23?
Yes.
Did you have any?
I'm going to read in the King. I can read in the King James Version.
Yes.
Want me to read it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, it says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, ward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought, that's the word, wrought, which he
wrought. Is that what it is? Wrought? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. He did.
In Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and domination, every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and haste put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. In a paragraph.
Okay, that was Ephesians 1:16-23.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wonderful. Hallelujah. I love that. But I'm saying it over so I can, you know, put it in my memory bank, y'all. Hallelujah. Okay, that last scripture.
Ephesians 3:14-21.
14 to 21. Okay, Ephesians
3:14-21. And it says, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which ye are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father, from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality.
That's 21.
Wait a minute. That was 17. Okay, now 17. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it. Wait a minute, I have to go to verse 21. Okay, verse 19. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all of your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within you, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far above and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest
prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
Yes.
To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Hey.
So be it.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Well, that's some heavy stuff. Credos. Again, holiday. Philippians 1, verse 9 through 11. Ephesians 1, verse 14.
The 16 to 23.
Excuse me. 16 to 23.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Ephesians 3, 14 to
21.
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct.
Thank
yep.
you. Hallelujah. Okay, so we can pick up reading now.
Hallelujah. Where did I stop? Oh, okay.
You stopped.
Through prayer, mm-hmm. we can contribute positively to the lives of others beyond the limits of our personal resources and capabilities. Mm-hmm. Philippians 1:19. I have found it helpful to keep a detailed list of people whom I pray for regularly, so that I can be more disciplined in praying for people and acknowledging specific answers to prayer in the paragraph. The next paragraph is entitled Personal Requests. Finally, prayer is telling God all the details of the things that concern us, Philippians 4:6. Seeking help from God for personal challenges, problems, and opportunities is not selfish. Jesus encouraged his disciples to take his requests to God in his name, John 16:23-24. Through prayer, we receive divine help for our daily needs. End of paragraph.
Okay, that scripture was Philippians 4:6.
Mm-hmm.
All you can, is that the one? Can you read that? And the other one was John. What was it? John
16.
Okay, John 16. Andy, can you see that? John 16. And
okay.
What verse was that?
23 to 24.
And you get a Pastor Peter's 58. The first one.
Okay, Philippians 4:6
uh-huh.
says in the Amplified, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God.
That's the supplication part that we're talking about. And you do act, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Andy, what's that scripture?
John 16, verse 23 and 24.
Okay.
And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. What is this word? It's a it's spelled HITHERTO.
Hitherto. Like for, it really means from now on, but it's hitherto.
Oh, okay. Hitherto. Okay. Hitherto.
Yeah, hitherto.
Okay.
Like a bird. Hitherto. But
okay.
Anyway, from now on, you can say, go ahead.
Have ye asked nothing in my name, as and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. In the paragraph.
In other words, you ask in his name, and he's going to give it to you that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Okay, Pastor Peach, continue.
I'm trying to find out where Andrew is.
She is in
John 16.
Okay, so let me do the next, go to the next paragraph.
Yes.
Prayer results. Prayer played a vital part in the lives of God's people in biblical times. The Old Testament leaders, Abraham, Moses, Nehemiah, and Ezra, godly Job, and Hannah, the prophets Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Jonah, Daniel, and Jeremiah, and the kings David, Solomon, and Hezekiah, all witnessed God's direct involvement in their lives through prayer. Although Jesus was God, during his life on earth, he prayed regularly to his heavenly Father. Following his teaching, the apostles and later the early church placed a high priority on prayer. Yet in all of these cases, God followed no single pattern in responding to his people's requests. God does not always answer our requests in the ways that we would want, but he does promise to hear and respond to our prayers. End of paragraph.
Amen. Any questions or comments about that?
He ain't telling us to do nothing. His the people in his prophets and ministers, they have already done.
Man, that's awesome.
So we have examples. We have examples of everything in the scripture. When tough things get tough, we got an example in the scripture. When our back gets against the wall, we got examples in the scripture. God has already, he hasn't asked us to do anything. He haven't already told his prophets and stuff to do, or that his prophets haven't already showed us that we can do.
And here's the key, too. And everyone that God used, you know, in those Bible days, in their flesh, they weren't perfect. They made mistakes. Everybody that they named had a big mistake that they did in their lives. All those folks. David was a murderer and adulterer. Moses was a murderer. Who else didn't name? Hezekiah didn't train his children up right, and they almost wrecked the kingdom. Who else did they name?
Nehemiah.
I forgot about Nehemiah.
Daniel.
Ezra, Job.
Yep. Solomon.
Well, I'll tell you, Ezra and Job, they may be exception. Yeah. But Job was backing out. He kind of was shaking in his boots because all the stuff was happening to him, especially when he lost all his children, all his wealth. And Nehemiah, don't remember. Ezra had a lot of things to deal with. I put it this way, but he helped build the temple. He finally got things together, but he was kind of shaky along the way too. So, but anyway, glory be to God. All right, any questions? And where are we now? Did we finish five, or we still got some more?
No, we still got some progress. 5,000. You got some more progress in five.
Okay, was that the first one you read, or that was your second paragraph?
No, that was the first.
Okay, read the next one. Then.
Okay, granting of requests. The Old Testament gives us many examples of how God answers prayers. Israel's early leaders knew the power of prayer. When Abraham prayed for Abimelech, king of Gerar, the king's wife was spared, and his family was able to have children again. Genesis 20, verses 17 to 18. Several times during the wilderness wanderings, Moses prayed for the rebellious Israelites, and God spared them from threatening destruction. Numbers 11, verse 2, 14,
in verses 12 through 16 and 21, verse 7. The history of nation of Israel was one of recurring defection from God. Divine discipline and prayer secured deliverance. After the people repented of their idolatry, God broke the Philistine dominance over them in prayer to Samuel's prayer. 1 Samuel 7, 5 to 11. Yet, despite Israel's continual rebellion, Samuel prayed for their well-being. 1 Samuel 12, 16 to 23. When David and Solomon reigned over the United Kingdom, Israel was led by men of prayer. Many psalms are simply David's prayers. For example, Psalm 17, Psalms 86, and Psalm 142. David's confession concerning his sin with Bathsheba is a further example of a simple prayer of David that has become a pattern for all subsequent generations. Psalm 51, Solomon's prayer for wisdom at his coronation, 1 Kings 3:7-9, and humility in his prayer dedicating the temple, 22-53, are other historical examples of how prayer brought divine blessing on the nation of Israel. End of paragraph.
Amen. Mark that. That's where we'll start the next semester. The next semester will start the first week in January. So we have a good period of not dealing with the school. So we have a hiatus, so to speak. So next Tuesday, you'll use the conference call number that we use in the morning for Bible study, 720 number, not the 605.
Okay.
The last class for spiritual maturity. And the long went off, so I think you got about, you got a good 8 minutes, Sister Andy. So you can go get a hamburger or cheeseburger or chicken legs and some water or some juice or some Captain Morgan. No, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for spiritual maturity class. We thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have felt and our ears have heard. We thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown, and it will bring forth 30, 60, 100 fold, even a 1,000 fold increase in blessing. And we pray God's blessing over Sister Angie's and her home in Jesus' name.
Yes,
all the students in Jesus' name, former and present students in Jesus' name, and Pastor Peaches and myself as we end this class.
Yes, Jesus.
Spiritual maturity. And Mark, in your book, Pastor Peaches, in the semester.
I did.
So we know where to begin the next semester. God bless you real good. And so now y'all can take a break. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Thank you, Lord. We put some music on, Pastor.
You may put some more on, right?
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
I guess that'll time up. That'll break us up. Hallelujah. Well, we need to keep Sister QB in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for time around the Word of God tonight. We ask you, Lord God, to bless the students that are not able to be in class tonight. We ask you, Lord God, for a special blessing on Sister Angie. Lord God, bless her steadfastness and bless her faithfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this class is called Know Your Bible. Hallelujah. Yep. And tonight we're going to be talking about 1st and 2nd Samuel. Hallelujah. Okay, after Ruth,
after the book of Ruth, Psalms, 1st and 2nd Samuel. Okay? And that starts on page 20 in Know Your Bible, Angie.
Okay. Let me read the first one.
Yes, please.
Okay, 1 Samuel, author, not stated. Samuel himself was likely involved, though some of the history of 1 Samuel occurred after the prophet's death. Date, approximately 1000 B.C. In 10 words or less, Israel's 12 tribes unit under a king. Details, please. And infertile? Infertile woman. Hannah begs God for a son, promising to return him to the Lord's service. Samuel is born and soon sent to the temple to serve under the Asian priest Eli. Upon Eli's death, Samuel served as judge or deliverer of Israel, subduing the nation's fearsome enemy, the Philistines. As Samuel ages, Israel's tribal leaders reject his sinful sons and ask for a king. Samuel warns that a king will tax the people and force them into service, but they insist, and God tells Samuel to anoint the tall and handsome. Was just that Saul as Israel's first ruler. King Saul starts well, but begins making poor choices. And when he offers a sacrifice to God, a jar reserved for priests, Samuel tells Saul that he will be replaced. Saul's successor will be a shepherd named David. Excuse me. Who will God's help kill a giant? Philistine warrior named
Goliath.
And becomes Israel's hero. The jealous king seeks to kill David, who runs for his life. Excuse me. David rejects opportunities to kill Saul himself, saying, I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointing. 26-23. At the end of 1 Samuel, Saul dies, bowing the Philistines, making way for David to become king. Katina Reed? Quotable, the Lord said unto Samuel, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I shall not reign over them. 8:7. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 15:22. Then said David to the Philistine, Goliath, so comes to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defeat.
Besides, unusual and unique and unusual. Read that one to the end.
Unique and unusual. The future king's soil is a donkey herder, 9'5", who tries to hide from his own coronation. 10:21-22. As King Sawyer breaks his own law by asking a medium to call up the spirit of the dead, Samuel chapter 28, so what? Selfish choices such as the Israelites' request for a king and Sawyer's decision to offer a sacrifice he had no business making can have heavy, even tragic consequences.
Yes.
In the paragraph. Yep. That is very interesting.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to read 2 Samuel. Author unknown, but not Samuel, since the events of the book took place after his death. Some suggest Abiathar the priest, 1535. The date, approximately 1010 to 970 B.C., the reign of King David. Before Christ, the numbers went down. You see how the numbers are going in opposite direction? They go from big numbers to small numbers.
Uh-huh.
1010 to 970 B.C., that was before Christ. In 10 words or less, David becomes Israel's greatest king, but with major flaws. Details, please. When King Saul dies, David is made king by the southern Jewish tribe of Judah. 70 years later, after the death of Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, king of the northern tribes, David becomes ruler of all Israel, capturing Jerusalem from the Jebusites. David creates a new capital for his unified nation, and God promises David, your throne will be established forever. 5:16 NIV. Military victories make Israel stronger. When David stays home, from battle one spring, he commits adultery with a beautiful neighbor, Bathsheba. When he has her husband, one of his soldiers, murdered. The prophet Nathan confronts David with the story of a rich man who steals a poor man's sheep. David is furious until Nathan announces, thou art the man. Chapter 12, verse 7. Chastened, David repents and God forgives his sins. But their consequences will affect David powerfully. The baby conceived in the triumph dies, and David's family begins to splinter apart. One of David's sons, Amnon, rapes his half-sister, and a second son, Absalom, full brother to the violated girl, kills Amnon in revenge. Absalom then conspires to steal the kingdom from David, causing his father to flee for his life. When Absalom dies in battle with David's men, David grieves so deeply that he offends his soldiers. Ultimately, David returns to Jerusalem to reassert his kingship. He also raises another son born to Bathsheba, Solomon. Quotable, how are the mighty men in the midst of the battle? Chapter 1:25. Who am I, O Lord God, or what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Chapter 7, verse 18. O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son. Chapter 18, verse 33. Unique and unusual. David's nephew killed a Philistine, of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes. Chapter 21, verse 20. David's top soldier, Adino, once killed 800 men single-handedly. Verse 20, chapter 23, verse 8. So what? King David's story highlights the vital importance of the choices we make. Who would have guessed that such a great man could fall into such terrible sin?
Wow.
This is wow. Oh, hallelujah. Yep. This also, 1 and 2 Samuel, also shows God's mercy on David. God did not hold it against him, that he did.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he still, the word of God said he was still a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. I want to give you an outline, so you a little bit of room on the page for quote this entitle a page. This is an outline for entitle your page outline for 1 and 2 Samuel.
Okay, outline. The right outline?
Yes. Outline for 1 and 2 Samuel. And make sure to put today's date at the top.
Outline. 1 Samuel.
And 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel.
Okay. Number one. Roman numeral one.
Okay.
Any word that you need me to spell, if I'm going too fast, just tell me to spell that. Okay. Okay, Roman numeral 1, period. Eli serving as priest and judge.
That's number one?
Yes.
Eli.
Serving.
Eli serving.
As priest.
As priest.
And judge.
Priest. High school priest.
P-R-I-E-S-T.
P-R-I-E-S-T. And judge.
And judge. J-U-D-G-E. This is 1 Samuel 1.
1 Samuel 4:22. Okay, so the first one is 1 Samuel 1, verse 22, and the second one is 1 Samuel 4.
No. 1 Samuel 1, 1.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. To make a dash.
Uh-huh.
The 4:22.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. Number two, Roman numeral 2, Samuel as leader of Israel.
Okay, Samuel.
As leader. Leader of Israel.
Of Israel.
Is
that
Israel? ISRAL.
or I.
S.
S.
R E A L.
E A L. Okay.
Okay. This is from chapter 5, verse 1. You know how to write, like, write the number 5 and the two dots and the number 1.
Okay.
And a dash, the 822.
822. Got it.
Okay, Roman numeral number 3. Samuel, the first king of Israel.
Samuel. Get off. You hold this one. Samuel. Yes, Samuel.
The first king of Israel.
Saul, don't you?
The first.
What'd you say?
The first.
Not Samuel.
The first. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. No, what?
Saul was the first king.
The first king.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Saul, yes, I'm sorry. Thank you, Pastor.
It's Saul, S-A-U-L.
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 Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Saul,
so,
the first king of Israel.
First king of Israel.
Israel, uh-huh. 9-1.
Nine.
Colon
one.
Say
it again.
9 and the two dots, the colon.
Uh-huh.
Verse 1.
Uh-huh.
To the 31st chapter. Dot dot 13.
Okay.
Now I'm going to give you the outline for 2 Samuel. Roman numeral 1, David as king of Judah.
David
as king.
As king
of Judah.
J-U-D-A-H. Got it.
Okay. Chapter 1. Verse 1.
Chapter
1, the two dots, the colon.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And a 1. Verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
And a dash. Chapter 4, mm-hmm. verse 12.
Got it.
Okay, Roman numeral 2.
Yep. Hold on, I'm trying to get a hold of the phone for me.
Yeah.
Hold the phone for me. All right. Put the church here. Okay, I'm ready.
David establishes unity.
David.
E-S-T-A-B-L-I-S-H-E-S.
Uh-huh.
Unity. U-N-I-T-Y.
U-N-I-T-Y.
Can you lay your
mm-hmm.
phone down and put it on speaker?
Yeah, it's on speaker. My sister holding the phone to my ear for me while I write.
I'm saying if you lay it down, wouldn't you still hear me?
Actually, not much.
Oh, okay.
I got a dumbness phone. Mm-hmm. I got to put it close to my ear.
Okay, the 5th chapter, verse 1.
5th chapter, verse 1.
to the 24th chapter.
24th chapter.
Verse 25.
Verse 25. You got that.
Okay. That's so much with the outline. Now, we, in the story of, in First Samuel, it talked about Hannah. In the first line on page 20, it says an infertile woman, Hannah, begs God for a son. Her husband had two wives. He loved Hannah, but God had shut up her womb. And it meant so much, in those, well, I guess even today, for a wife to be able to give her husband a son, you know. And she begged the Lord. She told God, if you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you all the day. I'll raise him as a Nazarite.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to write down the word Nazarite. I'm going to give you the give you some background on it. Nazarite is spelled N-A, where's the right, Nazarite. She told God, she made him a promise. She said, I'll raise him as a Nazarite, and that means that she would, he would live a sanctified life. He would be set apart, and she wouldn't, and he wouldn't let a razor, she wouldn't let a razor go to his head. Because I was wondering, like, you know, like, in the world that they had to do with anything, you know, but it meant that she was, he was going to live a sanctified life. She was going to have him, raise him, set apart unto the Lord. Nazarite. N-A-Z, I think E-R-I-T-E.
Uh-huh. Got it.
That's correct.
And, okay, I said, Hannah, I looked up in the Strong's Concordance, no razor shall come upon his head. And it said, Hannah, and I wrote down, Hannah would raise him as a Nazarite. I believe that was her way of saying he was to be sanctified, set apart for the service of the Lord. And it explains it in Numbers, right there, Numbers 6, 1, 20 to, 1, to 21.
Numbers 6.
1 to 21.
Got it.
Tells of the life of a Nazarite. The number is 6. Now, most of them in my Bible have a page. Number 6, 1 to 21. It says, this is in the Amplified. It said, and the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when either a man or a woman shall make a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite, that is, one separated and consecrated to the Lord. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar or wine or of strong drink, and shall drink no grape juice or eat grapes, fresh or dried. And the reference scripture to that was Luke 1:15. All the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing produced from the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skin. All the days of the vow of his separation and abstinence, there shall no razor come upon his head until the time is completed for which he separates himself to the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow long. Wow. So we're thinking that dreadlock, I mean, locks is a neat thing. Nope, that's back in Bible days. All the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. He shall not make himself unclean with his father, mother, or sisters when they die, because his separation and abstinence to his guard is upon his head. All the days of his separation and abstinence, he is holy to the Lord. And if any man dies very suddenly beside him, and he has defiled his consecrated head, then he shall shave his head on the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. On the eighth day he shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the priest to the door of the tent of meeting. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering and make atonement for him because he sinned by reason of the dead body. He shall consecrate his head the whole day. And he shall consecrate and separate himself to the Lord for the days of his separation and shall bring a male lamb a year old for a trespass or guilt offering. For the previous days shall be void and lost because his separation was defiled. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation and abstinence are fulfilled, he shall be brought to the door of the tent of meeting. And he shall offer his gift to the Lord, one he lamb a year old without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb a year old without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for a peace offering, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread spread with oil, and their cereal offering, and their cereal offering, and their drink offering. And the priest shall present them before the Lord and shall offer the person's sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord. And the basket of unleavened bread, priest shall offer also its cereal offering and its drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave his head, consecrated head, at the door of the tent of meeting, and shall take the hair and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall take the boiled shoulder of the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them under the hands of the Nazarite after he has shaven his head and his separation and abstinence. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. They are a holy portion for the priest, and the breast that is waved and the thigh or shoulder that is offered. And after that, the Nazarite shall drink wine. May drink wine. This is the law for the Nazarite who has made a vow, his offering to the Lord. Besides, what else he is able to afford shall be according to the vow which he has vowed, so that he shall do according to the law of his separation and abstinence as a Nazarite. That was the law of the Nazarite, and that is every he had to go by all of those standards. And his mother, Hannah, didn't have a child. She didn't have any children initially, and she begged the Lord. Yep, and when her husband saw her, she went in the temple, and she was praying. Excuse me, he thought she was drunk. And he was telling her, like, woman, put down the bottle, you know. She had let him know, no, I'm not drunk. She was praying. She had let him know she was praying and all. But at a distance, he just saw her mouth moving and all. He didn't know she was praying and she wanted a child. Because his other lady, had children by him, and she teased her. She held it against her. And, like, I gave him children. You know, and you have it, and it was a great thing, you know, to give the give the husband. She should have popped it. but she was holding it against her. Well, I gave him a child, and she felt bad when a woman back in them days couldn't have a baby.
it was like she felt cursed. It was a big thing when she wasn't able to give, and she wanted, and of course they wanted the first one to be a man child. That was the husband. Mm. Okay.
Wow.
I guess I had four girls. I guess they really would have stoned me. Wow. Okay. The introduction to the first book of Samuel, it says, in the Hebrew text, First and Second Samuel constituted one book identified by the name Samuel. It was divided into two parts in the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, and designated as the First and Second Books of Kingdoms. Although the books of First and Second Samuel have traditionally been ascribed to Samuel, he could hardly have been the author, since his death is recorded in 1 Samuel 25. That's when Samuel died. It records when Samuel died in 1 Samuel 25. Whoever wrote these books may have used such sources as the book of Jasher, which is mentioned in 2 Samuel 18, and writings by Samuel, Nathan, and Gad, which are noted in 1 Chronicles 29:29, as sources for the Acts of King David. The book of 1 Samuel marks the transition of rule over Israel from judgeship to monarchy. Beginning with the background and birth of Samuel, the career of Samuel, whose influence as prophet, priest, and judge was extensive throughout the entire nation, from Dan to Beersheba, including the anointing of both Saul and David.
Wow.
And it is. But when you read the different things in the Old Testament, when we read about David and how David was one of Israel's kings, he wasn't born a king, and it told you about how David lusted after this woman. He was on the top of his building. He was at his house, and he looked and he saw a lady named Bathsheba, and he lusted after her, and he got her, and he made her pregnant.
Yep.
But she was married, and because she conceived, she got pregnant by him while her husband was away at war. And this sounds like a movie you'll see on TV. And he told the people, put her husband in the front of the line so that he could get killed.
Mm.
David was covering up his sin.
Wow.
Because surely, while a husband is away at war, he sure enough can't make his wife pregnant. But when the husband comes home and he finds out his wife pregnant, he went home. He could have done it. So therefore, his wife had to come up with some kind of explanation. But David's trying to hide him. He said, put Bathsheba's husband in the front of the line, because he wanted her husband killed to hide his sin. But he eventually paid for that sin. He paid for it.
Now,
the introduction to the second book of Samuel, this book continues the history of the establishment of the kingdom of Israel. It begins with David's accession to the throne and gives an account of his entire 40-year reign. It records wars and other events of David's reign, such as his capture of Jerusalem, Samuel 5, 6 to 16, his sin with Bathsheba, that I was just talking about, chapter 11, verses 1 to 25, and Absalom's rebellion, chapters 13 to 20. Yeah, and to get more details, read the background and the authorship of Second Samuel. Go back to the introduction of First Samuel, but it shows God's mercy
And he is David is in the lineage of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to show you that God can use anybody, no matter what sin or they've had in their life, or whatever. God can bless. When a person has a repentant heart, and the Word of God, David was one of the people that had a heart after God. He had a heart after God. Because every time he did something wrong, he always repented. He had a heart after God. He did. He had a heart after God. And look in the scripture in 1 Samuel, first chapter, and give me the name of the other woman. Which one had two wives? What was, and if you can't pronounce the name of the second wife, spell it for me.
Okay, you said Samuel first.
Yep, the first book of Samuel. Hannah was one of his wives. She's a wife that couldn't have children and pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other wife she should have popped?
Okay. 1 Samuel 1.
Mm-hmm.
The other name. The other one was stuff with a P.
Spell it to me.
P-E-N-I-N-N-A-H.
Yes.
Woohoo.
Hannah was one of the wives, Pastor Bird, but Peniah. She was the other wife that had the children.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. Hannah, and what's the other one's name?
Peniah. Peninnah. And she had children, and she used to teach.
Yes,
and she would hold it over Hannah's head. Like, I've given him children. You know, and then the third verse says, this man went from his city year by year to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were the Lord's priests.
Yep.
And then the fourth verse says, when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give Peniah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters portions of the sacrificial meat. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had given her no children. Yes. So you made question.
And my verse say, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut her womb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, oh, oh.
But God blessed her, and he ended up, she stayed before the Lord, and she asked
she
God for a child. She told God, Lord, you bless me with a man child, I'll give him back to you, and God did it. So this is nothing too hard for the Lord.
Amen.
It's nothing too hard for the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, that her womb was closed up, her womb was shut up, and I bet that late Peniah, her mom closed up when she found out Hannah was pregnant, because she couldn't hold it over Hannah's head no more.
But guess what?
Nope.
Can I add something, because your time is up?
Yes, Pastor.
After Samuel was born, Sister Hannah had five more children at one time. She had quintuplets.
Wow.
You got to read that.
Oh, yeah.
You got to read that.
Oh, yeah.
After she had five more children at one time.
Wow.
Now, this is debated among Bible scholars. But check it out. After Samuel was born, it'll talk about she had some more children.
So you answering that question got yourself an A, Angie. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. This tonight's the last class. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for
your intuitiveness
and being willing to read in class. And what came to me today, I know I mentioned to you before, I don't know if you can get it on your phone, but can you go to the app store and get the Bible Is app on your phone?
Okay, the Bible Is.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I can. Go to it now.
Okay, because that would help when just like, because when I go to sleep at night, I put the Bible Is app on, and I go to sleep and just let it play. And I just let it play. But this will help because when it comes to, like, not knowing how to pronounce different words in the Bible, because some of the words in the Bible, they are American names. Nobody in the world would name their child these names. And when I started reading the first book of Samuel, that's what I did. I went to the Bible Is to hear how they were pronouncing this man's name in the first verse.
Right.
Yeah, and so therefore, and sometimes they have to listen to it 2 and 3 times just to find out, okay, how they break it up. And then what I did also, I would write in the margin the way it sounds, not the way it looks, but I would say I wrote in the margin how it sounds in America. The if it says root, let's say in the first verse, it said there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim. So I would put down R-A-Y, Ray-A, Raya, Mathem, writing down a word that the way it sounds. And that will help you to pronounce these foreign words, well, they're foreign to us in the scripture.
Okay. It helps me.
I'm just passing on because it will help.
Right.
So when you're reading, and it will help your understanding. And also, when you're reading something, you don't may not understand something. Fail not to use your Strong's Concordance. And if you need help in looking up a word or something like that, or remembering how to use the Strong's Concordance. Just give me a call and say, how am I supposed to use this Strong's Concordance? Because if you don't use it all the time, you may forget how to do it. And the Strong's Concordance is not an easy book to learn, not an easy book to read, to use. But it is a helpful book. It is a helpful book. Okay? We'll close out in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the end of the semester. We thank you, Lord God, for all that we've learned. We thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you have given us to get around the Word of God and to learn more of you. Father God, the Word of God has been sown on good grounds. Bless Angie. Bless the family. Bless the household. Bless it to keep you, Lord God. Touch her body tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord God, replenish her body in the name of Jesus. Give her sweet sleep tonight. Allow her body rejuvenate. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, give her strength back in her body for all the things she had to do today. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and worship you. We just thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good night, Angie. Thank you so much for being a good student.
Thank you. I have one more question.
Huh?
I found the Bible. Is it called the Bible Is Auto and Video Bibles?
I got mine is it in red?
Yes.
Yes, I got Bible Is, and I'm pulling it up on mine.
Okay.
I'm sending a picture of what the app looks like.
Look, and tell us what you can do is put, go back to the search and put free Bible is, because there's some of them that cost money. So put the word free Bible is and see what comes up then.
Okay, I got the text. Thank
you. That's what the My Emblem looks like.
Okay.
The Bible is. And you can pull up, and then when you go into it, it has different translations and all. And if you need help in understanding one, I haven't seen the Amplified in there, in the Bible is thing, but there's other translations. But you can pull up, you can get the King James Version. That's what I use, the King James Version in it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Angie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Have a good night.
I put the corn on the cob. Okay, I'm gonna hang up because it's all over. That means everybody hung up.
You entered access code 759849.
Okay.